allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. Do we have any minutes to approve?
I'd like to move to table the September 19th, 2023 workshop. I second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
I got an email from Julie. I think y'all got an email from Julie that she was not happy with the way the meeting minutes were after the discussion. So I say we'll send them back to another workshop and we can go on again.
Anything else?
That's pretty good summary.
Okay, dope. So we got a motion, we got a second, we've had our discussion. Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Mrs. Van Ham?
Yes.
Ms. Booth?
Yes.
Ms. Black?
Yes. Motion passes. All right, we'll move on to staff reports. I don't see a deputy here, so we'll skip that one. We'll go straight to the report from the fire department. Andy?
Since the last time I reported, which was on 9/23, we've had 30 calls for service, 22 of them being EMS calls, 2 of them auto accidents, and then we had 5 we were canceled, and there's another one, which I'm not sure what that one is, but probably mutual aid call. Of those 30 calls, we've been to Bethel Clark 3 times, Eber Heights once, New Carlisle twice, and Elizabeth Township once. So we've been relatively busy with our mutual aid calls. Some of those could be canceled. I'm going to try and figure out a way. We're getting ready to switch reporting software to ESO, which is the one we're using. So we might have some more detailed reports that we'll be able to provide coming up in the next few months as we transition.
Great.
That's
it, sir.
Get out. So we'll move on to report from planning and zoning. Mike Arnold.
Since the last trustees meeting, we've had 3 zoning certificates issued, 1 garage, 1 enclosed porch, and 1 pavilion. Since the last BZA, we have Pep Oil on Lisa Drive coming in for a conditional use for motor freight trucking transfer terminal. They were heard last month, but it was tabled, so they will come back in October. Then we have a conditional use for a Lee Schroeder for a commercial fence with barbed wire, 8970201 Tip City. There will be no zoning commission meeting this month. Year to date, there's been 40 certificates issued, 2 declarations received, 10 variances requests with 10 approved, 7 conditional use requests, 5 approved, 2 to be determined, 4 zoning amendment requests with 4 approved. And for the Miami County Planning Commission, we'll meet on the 17th at 7 p.m. BZA will meet October 26th at 6:30. And once again, no zoning commission meeting following. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we'll have an administrator's report. Andy?
Sure. There's only one resolution on your agenda this evening. That is for the 2024 sheriff's contract. There is a cost increase due to wage increases of the deputies of 3%. That was included in your packet. This year, the total for the sheriff's contract is $130,351 plus the fuel cost. Did you do the fuel calculations? Debbie did the fuel calculations, so she can let you know how much we spent in fuel.
In 2021, we spent $6,699.63. In 2022, we spent $8,773.51. And in 2023, so far this year, we've spent $4,901.46.
So that's in addition to the actual base contract.
Awesome.
For fuel and other service needs, I guess, of the cruisers. The date for the fire department open house, once again, is Sunday, October 15th from 2 to 4. We're getting all that stuff arranged. We're biting our nails, hoping that the fire safety house arrives. Mike's already called and chewed them out a few times. So we're hoping that's here for the festivities. The township and fire department will be participating in the Boozer Treat at the elementary school on October 26th. That's from 6 to 8 p.m. if anybody's interested in seeing some Boozer Treats or participating in that event.
Or dressing up.
Or dressing up, yes. That's all I have.
Thank you. All right, we'll move on to trustee reports. Beth?
Okay, so the MVRPC only had their executive committee. They met on Zoom last week to discuss the addition of more communities to MVRPC and how that affects the quorum. These communities can only vote on transit issues and funding. I attended the candidates' evening last Wednesday. Bill Lutz, who was our former township administrator, did a fantastic job moderating the event, keeping the time, and handling comments from the audience. The newsletter's out. I've gotten 3 phone calls from residents wanting to know who they should call about a neighbor having too many garage sales, so I said they should talk to you, Mike, or one of the trustees. The other thing I have on one of our agenda items for the trustees' workshop next week will be to discuss what options other than annexation are available to large landowners. I have 2 sheets with me, one that we did in 2020, right before the pandemic hit. We did a community meeting workshop on annexation. I brought copies of that for all of you, as well as the trustees, and then one that I put together today that's based on comments that I've gotten throughout the years in terms of other things that we've done. I know that there is sentiment that the trustees are doing nothing, but in reality, we have done a lot, but we're still open for other options should they come. And I think our goal is we're always going to be evaluating our strategy and at the same time, working to secure that Bethel Township remains as unchanged as possible, knowing that the given constraints at any given moment. So I'll put these out. You guys can take them after the meeting, and they don't need to be part of the meeting minutes, but I just have them. So yeah, got that. That's all I have.
Thank you, Julie.
Beth covered mine, so I don't have a report.
Okay. All right, my report, I went to the candidates meeting, of course, the other night, and I think, Michelle, you probably asked the questions about how many hours Stacy worked, and I think Debbie's response was about 20 hours per week. At which point I heard, I think you, Julie, say that she was lying. And I asked some other people to make sure I had heard that right. And they said that that's what they heard as well. So I was kind of bothered by that. I thought, well, I better check on this and make sure as far as what's really going on. So I kind of went back and looked at a few things. We hired Stacy on December 14th of 21. Now, when we hired her, that would have been me, Beth, and Carolyn Wright. That was after Tiffany had left. I think she was pregnant or something and didn't want to work anymore. We had Tiffany. Before Tiffany, I believe it was Megan Goins that we had for a while. So Stacy helps Debbie, but she's also a receptionist. So when we hired her, the pay started out at $18 per hour. And I pulled the resolution. I pulled that where we hired her. And it says, whereas the physical officer has the authority under 507.021 to appoint such a position and set the compensation for the position, and whereas the physical officer has selected Stacy McKenzie to fill this position, therefore, be it resolved that Stacy McKenzie shall be appointed as assistant to the physical officer pursuant to section 507.021 of the Ohio Revised Code. And like I say, that was Beth, me, and Carolyn that approved that. So that's kind of how it came about that we got Stacy, but that wasn't a brand new position. Like I say, we had Tiffany before, we had Megan before, and I don't go back any further than that, so I'm not sure. Then on November 22nd of 22, we had several discussions on a bonus, and that bonus was for some full-time positions and also for some assistant or part-time employees as well. And what we put in place there was a bonus of a one-time pay supplement. And the administrative assistant, which would have been Debbie, got $2,000. And Stacy would have been given $500. I think that's been since the meeting. I've seen different posts out there that we give Debbie $3,000 and all, and that's not the case. It was $2,000 and Stacy got $500. Went back and listened to the tape. Julie did not vote for those bonuses. Beth and I voted, and then that made it the majority. We also made a resolution on December 13th of 22 to give an overall 6% raise to all of the staff, not the fire department, but all of the other staff. So that raised Stacy's pay from $18 to $19.08. So I went back and I looked at that. And then I've seen some posts where people are saying that Stacy works 30 hours per week. So I went back and looked at all of the pay periods, and that is not the case. She has averaged less than 20 hours per week. There's never been a week that I could find that she worked 30 hours. Now, I don't know, Julie, with you saying that Debbie was lying about that, I don't know where you come up with that, but you know the pay is every 2 weeks. It's not weekly. So the most pay that I could find in a two-week period was 47.75 hours, and that was 1 week, January 1st to January 20th of this year. But the hours go down. Here's one pay period, 22, one's 38, one's 35, one's 38, 38, 41, 40, 41, 43, 44, 45, 41, 34, 39, 41, 45, 35, and 40. So she'd worked a total since, this goes back, this one that I got goes back a pay period in December. And she worked a total of 787.5 hours so far this year, but 33¾ hours of that would be taken off. So that's 753¾ hours so far this year. That averages out, like I say, less than 20 hours per week. So Debbie's response was correct at that meeting. I was bothered by that because I thought, well, as a trustee, I got to check into this and see why you would have stated in a public meeting like that she was lying.
So it averages out to 19.8 per week.
Okay.
38.
Yeah, it was less than 20. I knew that. I think we need to. There's 50 people at that candidates night besides the candidates, not counting the candidates and Bill Lutz. There was 50 people was the max I counted. I counted it three or four times. I think we need to put on our website and our Facebook, we need a response to that showing that you are not lying, so that people understand that. Whatever amount of details you think we should put with that, I'd like to see what we put up, but we cannot let that go, that someone says you're lying when you are not. So, Julie, I would ask, but of course we can't make you do anything, but I would ask that you would go back to all of the Facebook pages and things that you post on and admit that Debbie was not lying.
My turn? So this is not really the appropriate place to do this, but I will just say that my information came from an email directly from Debbie telling me that the assistant worked 30 hours a week. So that's why I posted the correction, because that's what I was told directly by Debbie in an email.
Listen, I don't appreciate you calling me a bold-faced liar in public when I did not.
I did not say that. It was a correction.
Well, I heard it, and so did other people.
You said it in the meeting.
Yes, I probably
and
said. I said it's a lie.
That, Julie.
Yes.
I have worked tirelessly to give you everything you've ever asked for, and when you say that, and people come up and ask questions, and then you say that I'm lying, and then won't retract that, and you're still saying that when the you never come and ask for the proof. The residents don't come and ask me for the documents. They just go with what you say. And maybe they should start fact checking what you're telling them, because I have the proof at the township building and I can hand it to them. And I have always been open and honest if somebody has asked me for something. So to call me a bold-faced liar to where
I didn't call you a liar. I said it's a lie. Okay? And based on
I don't see the difference with that.
Based on the information that you gave me in an email that came from you, what about that part of it?
Julie, but you went on this other site that's not a public site that I can't respond to. I can't even be on it. I've asked to be on it. And you, Pamela, and Lorna posted some really nasty things that aren't true. And I can't even rebut them.
So,
I think that's unfair, Julie.
So I would like to make a motion that we make a correction in response to this on our Facebook page and our website. That would be my motion. So you got a motion, is there a second?
I'm fine to second that.
Okay. Any discussion?
I have some. I would like to basically know what we want to put on that as far as how that should be worded. I mean, I just want to say, here's the facts from what the assistant to the fiscal officer works. How do we want to word that? I'm just want to make sure I get that properly before we just have a blank motion of we want it up there.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I did not write nothing out on that.
I understand, but I just want to, if it's going to be an official motion and take action on that, I just like to know officially how it's going to look so that I can get it right.
How about it has come to our attention that several inaccuracies are floating around.
Well, that's not the whole story. You need to say that my information was based on an email that was sent to me. If I'm wrong and you have the numbers to prove it, I will happily go out there and say the numbers show otherwise. But I'm telling you, I got my information from the source. So if it's wrong.
But Don has three pages of this right here.
I understand. And I said if that shows that that's the case, then I will happily go and retract it. But I wrote that based on an email directly from the fiscal officer saying that the assistant works 30 hours a week. So I don't know how you can blame me for saying that when that's what I was told.
I'm blaming you for calling me a liar in public without asking me, Debbie, is this true?
I had an email saying it was 30 hours.
You have that email?
Yes, I have it. It's in the, it's right.
I mean, I've never seen it.
Well, why would you see it? It wasn't.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I can print it out. bring it.
Like I say, I just come and got a printout of it so I could see exactly what it was.
The point is, I would never call you a liar in public unless I knew for sure, and you...
Why would I not know for sure if you sent me the email?
Did you know that the staff got paid bi-weekly? Because if you did, then you can't do math. Okay? Period.
I didn't base it on any of that. I based it on the email that you personally sent me saying that she worked 30 hours.
Julie, I've been nice to you. I'm done with you. You can say whatever you want to the public. They can believe all your telltales. And that's how it's going to go from now on.
In the past, the person has worked up. In the past, the person has worked up to.
I apologize.
32 hours a week. I'm trying to think what Megan worked. I mean, nobody's worked full time.
Well, that's not the same role as Megan.
I'm just like thinking out loud here, and so I'm trying to decipher where this 30 hours perhaps could come. I'm not saying that Debbie didn't send it to you. But in the past, it could be that she could work up to 20 hours. The role has changed because we decided on a better way to do it. But it's not inaccurate to say that in the past, somebody worked 30 hours, but she clearly works 20 hours now.
As I said, if you give me those numbers, I will happily retract it, but I'm going to put in there that I based it on the email that was sent to me. I mean, I can't go by anything else, right? I was told that information in an email.
What did I do with it? Just right here.
Yeah.
So there is it. And I put right there at the top, this pay would have been at 18, and then starting here at 1908.
And you have 2022 as well?
No, I have this year.
She also worked 2022.
You have that.
I have that.
It's right behind it.
You should. You just talked to
her. Oh.
So, you should.
I don't have it. Even on the back of it. I have 2023. I have one pay period in 22. I didn't go over
that.
Yeah, I've got them over there. I've got them over there printing up in there.
Well, she will get you that so that you can send it.
I have it right here.
And then...
And then this is gross pay here? Because you can't just divide a net pay.
Hmm?
If it's net pay, there's already things taken out of it.
Isn't there hours?
The report has hours on it. Has weekly hours.
He was talking about...
Hours times 1908 is the wages.
Okay.
Here's the report from
the... Let me see that. I don't have that. Okay, the hours on this one start in January. Well, goes about, starting December 19th to December 1st, or January 1st, Lord, I can't even get that right. 24 hours, 34, 13, 24, 34, 38, 30, 37, 36, 34, 35, 29, 40, 34, 44, 39, 41, 39, 26, 20, 43, 47, 38, 45, and 52. Again, that's 2 week periods. Now, this one will be at $18. An hour.
Still has the hours worked. That's what you're questioning. Not the overall pay.
You can have
all the pages.
Okay.
But, Andy, we will have to look at that in the workshop then as to how we want to work that.
That's fine. I just
want
to make sure
we have to do something because I thought that was kind of terrible to have said something like that.
Well, I based it on a fact.
I don't know that it's a fact. You do, evidently, but I don't. I did not have anything on that. I just was sitting up there. I heard a question asked of Debbie. I heard Debbie's response, and I heard That's a lot. Okay. And I said, as a trustee, I can't sit here and have something like that.
But you didn't even come to me and ask me where I got the information.
I did not.
Why did you not ask me? Why didn't you ask me?
I just went to the facts.
One of the facts is the email.
Get it and bring it to the workshop.
So I have to ask, but you don't have to ask.
What do you have to ask?
Debbie said I should come to her and ask her.
I did the same thing. I said I need this.
No, I'm saying, why didn't you come to me and ask me where I got my information? Why I would make that statement?
He's asking you now.
And I told you, it's based on an email.
I mean, it didn't matter where you got the information. I just wanted the facts.
That is one of the facts.
Okay, bring that with you.
Okay.
Okay, so that will be my report for tonight.
All right.
So, let me shuffle all these papers back, and let's talk about public comments on items on the agenda. I got one thing. Michelle, did I kind of clarify the answer to your question so you know the fact?
To be honest, Dawn, the question was addressed to Debbie, and I think this is an inappropriate time to talk about something that happened at Camp Independence tonight.
But it was...
I'm trying to get a campaign for an incumbent right now, and this is inappropriate.
That's...
I'm not going to respond.
Okay, it's not a campaign thing. It was a... it's 100% township business when...
Not at that particular point. You're supposed to be giving a trustee as to what you've accomplished since the last time.
And that's...
This is an inappropriate time.
And that's part of what I accomplished. I came and found the facts to that allegation.
I'm not going to respond to something that happened to meet the candidate tonight because that was a campaign evening. This is not.
Okay.
This is supposed to be trustee business.
That's fine. I just assumed campaigns was on honesty, but that's okay. Public comments on items on the agenda. Okay. Andy, the action item, please.
Let me read it.
Well, I can.
Well, he needs the action item, doesn't he?
No, Debbie does.
Oh, Debbie, action item.
This is a resolution 23-10-067, a resolution entering into a contract with the Miami County Sheriff's Office for police protection for 2024 in accordance with section 505.43 at a cost of $130,351 and to reimburse Miami County for all fuel and service.
Do I have a motion?
I will make a motion to adopt resolution 23-10-067.
Okay, thank you. So I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
No.
None. Okay, Debbie, will you call the roll, please?
Ms. Reese?
Yes.
Ms. Van Aaron?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes. Motion passes. Thank you. Okay, public comments on any topic.
Okay.
Looks like the mic's already on there, Natalie.
It is. Natalie Donahue, 7835 Agapov Road. Just two quick things. Just in general, I think it's incumbent upon every single community resident to fact check everything that's said at any time if they want to make sure they understand all the facts and have all the information at hand. So I think it's our job to do that. Based on anything we hear along the way. I'll just also follow up. I did want to follow up because I reached out to Emily Werner at in the New Carlisle City office, and she did email me back. I talked about the software that they use, and that software is called REV, all capital letters, and it's about $200 to $250 for the year. She said it's pretty easy to use. It takes her a day or two to get the minutes back, and then it does have to be edited with the names of the speakers at the top, and if those are put in first, she said it makes it a lot easier. Also, the last thing that she noted was that Randy Bridge, who is the city manager, he uses it exclusively for the planning board minutes. So I just wanted to share that since I made that comment. I just wanted to say I followed up just because I wanted to provide the name just for everybody's reference because I kind of like it too. And I might even want it for myself someday. Thank you.
And just because you asked at the last meeting, I also did call Emily because I work with her. She gave me the same information you did. She said the only time she's ever used it is was our joint meeting. She does not like it. She says it's cumbersome. That's what she told me. Okay. But I just wanted to know that I also followed up because you asked the question at the last meeting.
Thank you. But, yeah, I was going to say, I appreciate that. She did mention it being cumbersome. She said it's pretty easy in the email she sent to me. So, thank you.
I just wanted to know
I followed up that. Thank you for following up, too.
That one that she used it on, that was the joint meeting between us and New Carlisle. That was really a transcript.
Exactly.
Not minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what the software does.
The software gives you a complete context. It is a transcript, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So in summary, it's the whole transcript.
I was agreeing.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other public comments?
Yeah, Jack Duty at 4360 Lisa Drive, 4390 Lisa Drive. I attended the meeting the other evening for Pat Oil, and I'm greatly concerned about our traffic situation back there. Don't mean to keep repeating this, but I think there needs to be some kind of study done, and I also think that people on the board, whether it be the trustees or on the appeal board, needs to come down and spend some time, not just 5 minutes, 2 minutes, I'm talking hours. Just to see what's going on. We're anticipating 40 to 50 more trucks to park over there. And it's, we're already over the trucks. If you do a count down there, there's parking area for, a minimum of 200, approximately 300 trucks. And trying to do it, if there was ever a public safety where nobody had to pack anything or anything like that, it's going to jam up. I mean, right there between Gibson and that little cul-de-sac right there. Four semis, if they stop there, traffic stops.
Right.
And that road is not wide enough. I mean, when they come up through there, I mean, they take wide turns. And getting out onto 202 off of Gibson is very tough. They've knocked up the utility box over several times. Knocked our mailbox off, moved the post. I've got huge rocks up there, big rocks. They moved those rocks 40 to 50 feet.
Wow.
How do they move this?
The trailer, when it comes around. I had one video where it went catapult.
Really? Oh, wow. Okay.
Because they don't come around 5 miles. They come around 5, 30 miles. And the speeding down there, I was all
the time. You've talked several times, yeah.
I mean, it's I think we have enough trucks back there. I really think they need to, who's ever reviewing this, I don't know how everything takes place, you know.
So Mike can explain that to you. The BZA makes the decision because it's a conditional use or a variance. We don't hear that case.
What about traffic studies? Contact the DOT and they said that they're going to call.
Yeah, so we could request that the applicant do a traffic study, I think, before they go on with their, proposal, thank you. We could do it. They're fairly expensive to do, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, and so, that's how that works. But we will not, the trustees don't vote on it.
Can you bring to light about the public safety?
Mike can share it with them, yes.
Yeah, I've repeated it twice, and I don't mean to keep going. I want to make sure everybody can see some input instead of just saying, okay, well, it's just 40 or 50 more trucks.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, the traffic here, I've had on numerous occasions where people are turning into my cars. They'll go to turn and somebody comes down through there, not necessarily the semi, I haven't seen the semi yet, but just the truck drivers.
Right.
Because they can park the cars down there.
Yeah.
They'll pass them on the way out. They're all in the turn. And I mean, it's something going to happen bad back there or something.
Not to mention the truck traffic that comes out of the quarry.
Yeah.
And Gibson Road, I don't know if anybody's driven a bit lately, but if you drive in it with something other than a luxury car, it's going to feel like that you're in construction, so it's going to feel like a dozer cracking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that gas station over there, because you can't get out.
Yeah, and people dart out there, one darted in front of me this today at lunch.
Yeah.
Make the turn, and also they're trying to beat it. And it's fairly congested. I just don't understand how they do it.
Right, right.
How much traffic do you have in and out of your place?
In my place?
Yeah.
I mean, on the daily delivery, we probably have 15 to 20 cars. We just deliver parts, at least that.
But cars, not so much trucks.
Right, oh, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, we have our customers come in, which we're going to generate late cars, 20 cars.
Right.
But the concern, like I said, is just...
Big trucks.
I even suggested that that meeting put a stop sign here, put a stop sign there. That'd slow them down.
Right.
But it could also cause more congestion.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, the acres that they have over there, they're talking about just developing up, what's it, two and a half acres?
Mm-hmm. Two out of seven.
Two out of seven. So, I mean, if they get a variance there, okay, hey, we can do more. Because, you know, they're probably paying $100 to $200 a month park rates there. That's pretty lucrative.
And how many trucks do they think they could park on two acres?
40 to 50 is what they...
How many?
40 to 50.
Oh, wow. Per acre or total?
No, just total.
Oh, wow. So a lot. That's a rest area.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what...
Every night.
We don't need a truck stop.
No, we don't.
Not. It brings on a lot of other stuff. And in Gibson down there, where they took the golf course.
Right.
I mean, you guys were told one thing as far as over one truck or so, whatever, but drive down there.
Really?
You'll see what I'm talking about. I guess some people are parking here. Now, the company next to me, of the Castro's building, and they have invested a lot of money in the parking areas, all blacktop, they just did that. But, I mean, I said probably 80, I wouldn't put 80, if you stack them, you probably could. But there's at least 50.
At your next door neighbor already?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And, I mean, there's safety cones old building. Rob's two properties, so there's two parking areas. There's another parking area over at across the street. And say, there's already three parking areas on the,
right.
on the Lisa, and a huge one over on the...
Yeah.
Actually, four, I forgot the one next to me, so it's four.
Yeah, yeah.
And I ain't trying to keep anybody from making money or
right.
growing their business, but I think it is a public safety.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
Okay, any other public comments on any topic? Jeff?
Yes, please. Good evening, Jeff Morford, 6570 East Walnut Street, Dip City. Couple things, I'll start with... for any reason, for whatever I've ever said, if you feel I don't appreciate what you've done in the past, helping me with the annexation, helping the community with the annexation, please, we're on the same team. I appreciate everything this office has done. I appreciate everything county commissioners have done. I'm just frustrated. I don't understand how it can be allowed. I can see it's being allowed, but not allowed. And I truly appreciate any time and efforts from our citizens who do it on their own time without compensation. So we're on the same team. I think we're on the same team. You know, we're trying to stop Huber from consuming us. So I just want to mention that I apologize if I come off rude or...
I didn't think you did.
Abrupt or something of that nature. Because if you're doing it, you know, you're doing what you can do within the boundaries of your... you can. I'm just trying to think outside the box, trying to get people motivated to the point where they think of something new, think of something, a new idea. but please, you've helped me immensely, the community's helped me immensely. We've all helped each other, as far as I'm concerned. So, I apologize, and I thank you, all the same little group here. Next subject, might not completely deal with this, but I try to go to Huber Heights meetings, to say no. About 288 units have been approved yesterday behind their library. So more traffic in Huber Heights, it has been approved.
That's part of their redevelopment.
Yes, and that's, you know, that's in their community, that's not in our community, let's say, but just to let you know that they're still trying to expand, you know, I mean, they're not trying to slow down or tail anything, you know, not you. There was a gentleman, I think it's off Armstrong or something, he's been working very diligently trying to put a truck parking unit over there. It's near that 235.
Oh, on Arts Road.
Yeah. And they've been giving the runaround. They've been pushing this way. I can tell they're not real satisfied with what he's attempting to do. I think they don't think it's up to their standards or something. You know, they want other bigger processes in it. So they've been back and forth between the planning and zoning, and then to the committee, you know, the city meeting, and then now they're sending it back to the planning and zoning, but just conversation. And then obviously Bucky's was there last night. Two well-suited 60-year-old gentlemen with their 30-year-old female assistants. I mean, well, computerized and everything else. I could tell that they weren't the guy that's going to pump the gasoline. They were upper echelon guys. Big company, though. Public hearing for it, you know, and it would go to the first reading, second reading, then they would fill the tapes and that kind of thing. I'm sure you know that better than I do. But it was interesting, after a couple things went down, that they were hoping, to tell you the truth, because they were there, I think they were hoping to, once the public hearing was done, and there wasn't any, you know, people would object or say thank you or no thank you, or if the board had any questions or something of that nature, they sort of went through that time period. But after that, then they went to the first hearing, the first reading, and then they were asked if someone asked or proposed, I forget the terminology there, but to waive that one, to go right to the second one, to go right to the vote, to accept it. Well, they didn't get the votes for that, so it's now going to go to the second. With that, Bucky's is out the door, you know, they got dinner to go to or something like that. But I just thought that was interesting. It didn't get pushed through as quickly as I think they had hoped it would. And they talked about the traffic that wouldn't be affected like they always do, like with New Carlisle or anywhere else. There's never any traffic affected by these huge businesses. And in my view, I mean, they're talking about how many, that interchange is completely going to change, how many lanes are going to be there, how many lanes are going to be dedicated to flowing right into Bucky's, and the percentage on the road from, you know, east and west on 70 and coming north on 235-4 and Carlisle. You know, they say that there's no effect, you know, because they're going to have this new interchange. There's going to be an effect. Mm-hmm. I mean, not in my view, 95% of their business is going to be off the expressway. I really don't think the general local public is going to use that facility. They're going to find a gas station right up here in the corner. They're going to find BP right here to use that one. Because Bucky's have been dying. My son and I were just in Alabama this weekend, and we didn't go to Bucky's, but it was like, he said, there's more cars there than in Walmart.
Wow.
It is huge. And the traffic going in and out just get through the intersection. So it's just information that I've passed along.
What did you speak on there? At the meeting I saw on the news, just a blurb, but they didn't have
me. Well, that was a lie.
Oh.
Because they just, a few times, I've been there, and there's a film crew there. The film crew was not there about Bucky's last night. I didn't see it on TV. They might have had, you know, a file from before that I was speaking against.
Uh-huh. So we didn't speak.
But they probably brought up the Bucky's thing and sort of scanned the city council members or something like that.
Wasn't you?
That was me.
But not last night.
Not last night.
Yeah.
But there was no film crew there that I saw at all. And I would have noticed that.
All right.
So, I think they're just looking for something. Like I say, I didn't see it, but if you're saying it's there, and I've heard, these are the second one that told me that they seen it there, but I wasn't discussing that at all. It's always annexation, it's always, you know.
Well, I'm just admiring, I guess, what's going on.
Only brother was long, that kind of thing. Next subject, if I may, I have been to the county commissioners a couple times discussing this process. And I was there last week, and usually they're very cordial, very understanding, they let me speak, and then they usually give me maybe their idea what's going on. Well, I could tell they had a behind closed door session going on, the prosecutor was there, so they just, you know, sort of cut me off and didn't really give me any new information of what was going on. But appreciate I was there, and he said, I'm glad you're here. Because I began to speak about the annexation because the prosecutor's here. And it was a bit nice for him to know. But I have been trying to get hold of Jenna Powell a couple times, you know, by phone. I've sent her two letters. I've talked to her assistant, Bob. You know, I can't say anything to his name. But, you know, I talked to him today, and he was trying to, you know, just say, you know, she can't do anything, lie down. But I think I brought up other subjects to the point where he said, well, wait a second. I'll talk to her again, bring up these subject you might be concerned. And my stance is, you know, there's a possibility if it goes back to them that a referendum is the only way to stop it. It doesn't seem like in the past that there's been any stoppage from county commissioners, this office, the only way that, and the citizens got to do it in the U.S., but they might want it for them. But talking to Bob and the county commissioner, I'm trying to say, how can you put it on the ballot so both communities can vote on it, of any size annexation request. I don't care if it's a lot, I don't care if it's an acre, I don't care if it's 10, 20, 30, 50 acres, that the community's got to vote on it. Because there's been many times annexations have been a positive thing. There's been communities that promoted it. Both communities promoted, both communities wanted it, both communities understood that it was a good project, and they went forward, and it was welcome. This is not one of those annexations. So I'm saying across the state, if there's an annexation request, it's got to go to both communities, it's got to get a majority vote. If both majority votes, thank you, yes, it goes through. That's our democratic idea, that's our voting posture, and that's the way it should be. So my civics aren't that good, so I don't know what can be done, how it can be done. I just think it can be done. We vote on so many other issues that are, I don't want to demean them or put them down here, but we vote on everything. You know, I mean, we can vote on electrical aggregation or whatever it is, you know, things of that nature, you know, all important. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they're not important, they're all important, but this is really important. So why wouldn't our representatives be for allowing the voters to state their concerns and vote on it. That way they're held, the liability for them is sort of diminished.
Right.
Well, you voted for it.
Definitely.
You know, so I think they would be good for them, good for us.
Right.
Thing, you know. But anyway, let me see if we've got everything done on the annexation. Any size, ballot, you know, the ballot thing, kind of thing. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Sure.
Have a good evening.
Any other public comments? Announcements.
Once again, October 15th, Fire Department open house from 2 to 4. Come and see us, get some food, watch us extricate, watch the helicopter land. Hopefully the fire safety house will be here. October 17th, Trustee's workshop meeting in this room at 9 a.m. October 24th should be a township labor meeting. I don't know how to mess that up.
You were gone on vacation.
Yeah, because I was gone on vacation.
That'll be 7 p.m.
The daywagon meeting.
Mm-hmm.
26 will be Beggars Night from 6 to 8. 26 will be the BZA meeting at 6:30. planning commission at 7:00, which will be a zoning commission, might send that in as a report. And the 27th will be the PTA booth retreat at Bethel Local Schools from 6:00 to 8:30.
Okay.
So, look forward to seeing you at the event.
All right. Thank you. Okay, we need a motion to record the payment of warrants.
I make a motion to record the payment of the warrants, electronic payments 864 through 2023, and regular warrants through 54141 through 54152.
Okay, do we have a second?
So just one more thing. You said 2023 at the end of the first one. I think you mean 900, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I didn't go to the last one yet. Through 900-2023, yeah, thanks.
I second it.
Okay, so we have a motion and we have a second. Is there discussion? Andrew?
No.
Okay. Debbie, would you call the roll?
Yes, Mrs. Van Hammer?
Yes.
Ms. Reese?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes. Motion passes. So, do I have a motion for adjournment?
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Second?
I second it.
Any discussion?
No.
All right, Debbie, call the roll.
Ms. Reese?
Yes.
Ms. Van Hammer?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes. We'll adjourn.